Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Pork Therapy.
This is Mike here.
And this is Stephanie. And
if you recognize that introduction as the same one from the last episode, you're correct. This is part two, and in this episode we're talking about...
Tonight's
question is, communication is key in all relationships, but how do you handle a non-communicative person?
And talking about this topic with us is...
Bridget.
And...
Jeff.
We ended the last episode with this comment.
Everything changes. I mean, best relationship, some dynamic is going to be introduced at some point in time that'll cause a conflict. Maybe it'll resolve it well, but something's still going to change.
And now, what you've all been so eagerly waiting for, part two.
All right, should we move on to another example, of a conflict like this with a non-communicative...
The only thing that I've really been thinking about through this whole episode, besides all the bizarre pranks that you guys play on each other...
We don't play any of them.
In relationship to a non-communicative person, you basically have to make a choice. Is the relationship something that you are willing to deal with their non-communicativeness, or if it's not? Because you cannot make somebody communicate with
That's
you, no
true.
Matter how much you try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and you can talk to somebody, and if a person still chooses to be ambiguous and say, well, mm-hmm. this is what I'm going to do, well, then you either have to accept that if that person's important to you or not.
Right.
So it does kind of fall back on you, and it does make it harder when it is
I agree with that, but let's say you... I just want to talk about that one choice. Let's say you're in a relationship with someone and it's good, and something changes and this person wants to be hurtful or ambiguous or whatever. You can decide, well, this person's important enough to me that I want to put up with it. Well, what does that even mean? How can you have a relationship when, from that point on, you don't know if they're going to like you or hate you or if they're going to hurt you or help you? Ambiguous means you don't know, and by their intent, you don't know what they want to do.
Well,
How can you go on?
I would say probably those relationships are the ones that are probably, like, hardest to extricate yourself from, like, such as family relationships.
Yeah, for most people, yes.
For most people, yeah. I mean...
Not everyone can be, Mike.
Yeah, I don't have... I don't see an important... Hey, family! That is a topic
we could talk about.
I don't see an importance to family. I think people are people, and I like them, or I don't, regardless of whether they're
my family. Well, there's, like, your chosen family and your born family, right? I mean, you can't help who you're born to.
Right, I mean, I can't change that someone is my mom, but I don't have to like her. I mean, she might be an evil person, and I just won't like her.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sure.
Not hard
just
for me, but it is for most people.
Is related to you doesn't mean you have any obligation to like them or be friends with them or... You know, or them to treat you well, even. I mean,
but that's another topic.
That is, we can talk about that. But yeah, I think what Bridget hit on is important because sometimes it's just, you know, you have ties with people and they're not communicating with you, and you can't break those ties, or you can't break those ties immediately, like the roommate who couldn't move out right away,
or let's say you're in a relationship for 20 years,
and that's a lot
of your life that you've invested,
right?
And some shit changes,
and maybe you have some property that you own together, like a house or something like that, or you know, I mean, I'm not trying to like. I'm just giving an example.
You're right. There could be
something that's
very hard to get out of.
That's a very hard thing to get out of. Yeah, exactly.
So maybe the best choice is to, okay, you know what? I can't have this relationship. I can't have this house with you. I've got to end it because this is hurtful and not healthy.
Right.
It's not easy to do.
No, it's not easy at all.
I think a lot of times, though, you know, when people are just kind of behaving immaturely or whatever and just don't want to talk to you, like... If that's what they want, fine. Like, give them some time, and eventually people usually come around and get over things, you know?
I think I agree with you, but I want to differentiate between people who are being immature and people who are actually being hurtful. I think they're two different scenarios.
Yeah.
And two, I don't know, I guess
it goes... Because I don't mind being ignored. I grew up with parents who were mad at me, would just ignore me. And I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that at all, because they weren't technically trying to hurt me. They just weren't talking to me, and then eventually it would start with simple things like... The weather, or how are you doing,
and then we'll build back in
to something else. But you know, I grew up with two very non-communicative parents, and so I'm kind of used to that. And most of my relationships have been very non-communicative, where people expect you to read their mind or just know.
That's
huge. Then if you don't know, then they think that you're stupid. Where I like people when they are direct with me and when they spell things out for me, and I still, even when they're doing that for me, I still have a tendency, because of my history, to assume that what they're saying isn't really what they're meaning. And so it's good some people are patient with me and my communication problems. Well, so, but the other person, like I said, to have that kind of relationship, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's either worth it to you or it's not. Because you really can't have a real relationship with somebody who is not going to talk to you.
Yeah, especially if they're not interested in improving their own communication skills. You know, like sometimes...
But I don't think... you don't have to burn bridges either. You know, you don't have to be like, fine, you don't want to talk to me, I don't want to ever fucking talk to you either. You can just be like, you know what? Like,
yeah, but
I don't know what's going on.
If somebody says that to you, you can accept that and just say, okay, this is what they want right now, and just back off. And you don't have to do anything
in return.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I try to keep, like, peace, and I put up with a lot of stuff in my life for the same reason.
Yeah.
What about this scenario, then? You've got a bad communication scenario, and you tell, and you don't see a way out, so you say, all right, well, I got to be done, you know, talking to you. I'm done in our relationship until you can resolve this. And this other person, I don't know, starts being hurtful, you know, keying your car, damaging your property, or threatening you on the phone, or whatever the case is. And you say, please stop, or you don't answer the phone, and they leave text messages, and you ignore it, but they keep coming.
Yeah.
They keep coming. So, never mind, this might be another topic. That's not non-communication.
That's
threatening.
That's active, yeah.
That's
active.
That's threat,
okay,
yeah. So.
Because they're definitely communicating with you.
Yeah,
that's one-way
communication. In a very poor way. Question was about non-communicative people, but I think it could... I missed that. What did you say, John?
Never mind. You can replay that.
Damn, I have to wait to find out. Well, I was going to say, like, the question was about non-communicative people, but it could just as easily refer to... poor communicators.
That's true.
Or, yeah.
I mean, like in the case I just gave an example, that's one-way communication.
The person is communicating.
Not really.
Not in
they're
a healthy
talking,
way.
They're not communicating. Because in my example, the person is not hearing what I have to say. Please stop threatening
true.
Me. Please stop calling me. They're not hearing me. They're ignoring me.
Yeah.
They're just saying what they want to say, which is, you suck and I'm going to hurt you or whatever.
Yeah, they're expressing their own feelings, but they're not listening to yours. So it's not a two-way street.
Yeah. I don't know how to handle that.
Well, I guess you handle it.
That might be the hardest one.
That might be the hardest one, yeah. I mean, so how would you handle that if something like that came up? Would you just ignore the threatening text messages? Would you, you know, would you...
Well, this did come up in my life, and so far I am ignoring it.
Yeah. Have you found that to be a good tactic, or do you think it would have been better if you had directly confronted the person and said, hey, stop doing this? Or what do you think would be the best way to handle it?
I don't know. My personal example is pretty intricate because
I did try
certain things and, you know, ask them to stop and ask, you know, I did ask them
okay,
questions like...
Okay, so when
like,
you asked them to stop, did it fuel the fire or did it make them stop?
Neither. It's just like I said, one-way communication. He didn't give
like
a shit what
like
I had to say.
Talking to a brick wall.
Just kept doing what he wanted.
Yeah.
So,
that's
I
really
don't know
tough.
How to deal with it. I mean, if you ignore them... You know, I take that back. This person does not communicate with me anymore. This person does not send me text messages or emails or phone messages or anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So while they still may hate me and threaten me or whatever, I don't hear about it, so it doesn't bother me.
Right.
So maybe ignoring them was the issue. It stopped. Maybe it did stop fueling the fire.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, this actually reminds me of when people talk about tactics to deal with unwanted attention or unwanted affection. Like, let's say, you know, there's I'll just use the example of a woman who is being pursued by a guy, and the guy can't take a hint, right? Right. Basically, I wouldn't maybe go so far as saying stalker, but a person who has some sort of creepy behavior and is contacting you too much, or is saying creepy things that, you know, make you feel uncomfortable, wanting to know where you are all the time, wanting to know what you're doing, things like that. I think it's appropriate to send them one email or one, you know, phone call and say, hey, fuck off, I'm not interested.
Or even politely.
Yeah, or, right. To say that in
you
a polite way.
You can't be too polite, though.
That's true.
Right.
You gotta let them know you're serious.
Right.
That's true.
You can't be like, hey, I like you, but you're...
No.
You gotta be clear and direct about what you're saying. Like, hey, I'm not interested. I want you to stop contacting me. And if you contact me again...
I will do this.
I will...
That's good.
Whatever, you know. And I think that one of those is appropriate, and if they don't get the message after that, then you do whatever you threaten
to
do.
Yeah, you can't do an idle threat there. You have to be...
You have to be ready to follow through.
To do what you said you're going to do.
If you say, like, I'm going to get the...
And
not that I recommend this, but if you say, I'm going to get
don't
the...
Even say
no,
it.
No,
okay,
no,
yeah.
No,
don't
no.
even say it.
No.
Just,
okay,
but,
it'll
you know,
make it worse.
Yeah,
it'll make
do,
it, make
you know,
it
say,
I'll
if you don't...
I have to do this.
Yeah, if you don't...
Yeah.
I feel threatened.
Yeah, right.
That's an excellent one.
Sure.
Or more free market-ish is... If you don't stop, then I'm going to tell these people that you care about what you're doing to me.
Right. I'm going to post this all over the internet. That
yes, I'll let people know that you're threatening me.
Email all over campus. Yeah. Right. Say that you're a creepy stalker.
Yeah. Right. Whatever the you know.
Yeah, that's yeah. a great. That's a great
it's,
suggestion.
It's basically ostracization.
Right.
Aside from the defense, which is even better.
Yeah. I like that idea. Just to spread the word about the person that they're a creepy stalker. and yeah, like you said, if you threaten that, you have to be ready to follow through on it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's, yeah. So, I mean, I think a lot of times in those situations, a stalker, if you are very direct with them, will get the hint and will leave you alone, especially if you're willing to, you know, take those kinds of actions. But
actually, I know someone who has a legitimate, you know, actual stalker.
And who has one currently?
Yes, and has had, and this person has stalked them for years.
Really?
Yes, and so that didn't not work for them.
Hmm.
I mean, this person I know.
What is the stalkee doing about it, or what have they done about
it? They have told this person to stop. They've contacted this person's parents and mm-hmm. given them the evidence that this person is stalking and all the threats and the emails that he sent her. They sent to the parents. My friend who's being stalked is a woman.
Yeah.
She's gone to the police hesitantly because she's, you know, libertarian.
Yeah,
so it's a last resort because this guy is disgusting and threatening as well. I don't know what else she's tried, but it's been going on for years on and off.
Exactly.
Hmm. Well, maybe. Oh, and also this person started threatening her friends and family.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really tough situation.
Yeah,
and in that case, like, yeah, he's not listening to her, you know, request to stop.
Yeah, I'm not very content with this podcast. I don't know if we've really given any solutions to anything, have we?
Well, a lot of these are not solutions. They're just sort of tactics because
we
don't
things
have
to
any
try.
Specific,
they could work. True.
We don't have any specific situations. We're just kind of bringing up examples.
Right.
Like, okay, what do you do when you have someone in your life who is a poor communicator and just is not interested in improving their communication skills?
Well, I would think you might want to set the example, communicate well, but also maybe draw explicit attention to it. Like, say, see, what I did yesterday was tell you what I want instead of just assuming you knew.
Yeah.
And
so
don't
enable
that behavior in that.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly.
Don't respond to it when they communicate poorly.
Or just call them out on it. Be like, you know, it's not okay with me when you just do that and act totally inappropriately and then pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, we're not just going to sweep it under the rug.
Right.
Yes, don't accept the shit.
Yeah. Shit, exactly. That's it.
The shiznit.
That's it, podcast over.
I know. I don't have one either. I just have a song stuck in my head, that's all.
You know, I think, Jeff, that was a great suggestion. Like, you know, you very calmly pointed out to the person the poor, not attacking them as a person, just saying, hey, you know, calmly pointed out, when we're arguing, it's not okay with me to...
Stephanie was twiddling with her hair.
I'm getting made fun of for playing with
my
hair.
It is cute. See, it wasn't a bad thing that you said, was it?
Thank you.
I know, but see how she took it? She took it how I took it.
I was not offended or
anything.
We
interrupted, sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. God knows I've done it to you enough times.
Yes,
I do it all the time.
Jeff had an excellent idea.
Well, the thing was, Jeff's idea was cuddling. Okay, anyway, we're getting...
It wasn't cuddling. No, it was about, you know,
it was
not
about pointing out the tactic.
Yes.
Yeah, pointing out the bad tactic and saying, hey, you know, when we're having a discussion, it's a lot better to point out the specific thing that I did that made you upset instead of attacking a fundamental thing about my character. Like saying, like, you know, for example, I was arguing with a family member one time, and the family member became enraged and said something like, oh, you're a piece of shit, or you're, you know, like a...
Lovely.
Yeah, like, just
something like,
said something...
Christ!
just said something
like that.
Inappropriate that was an attack on me personally.
An ad hominem.
And it was not addressing the thing that I did that made this person upset. It was just saying an insult against me.
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, you know, it was very hard to say this calmly, but I tried my best, and I said, you know, it's inappropriate to call me a whatever name when you're really upset that I did so and so and so.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's an excellent way to handle
really
that.
Good.
Yeah, but it didn't get through to the person. they didn't. It didn't really so register.
Maybe it did later, but
it might have. But
you know, that's actually really important. The passion part.
Right.
You might need some time to calm down before you can speak calmly or politely in a certain situation. So the person who's threatening and non-communicative might need some time as well.
Yeah.
Like, if you even politely call them out, hey, you just called me a name, and instead, if you told me what you'd like me to change, that'd be better. Maybe they still need some time to hear that before they'll accept it.
Right. Or, you know, you can always... Mike is a big fan of during an argument that's clearly getting too heated for anyone to have a rational discussion... You're a big proponent of just, hey, take a time out, take a chill, just walk away from it and say, you know what, we can continue this later, but I think we both need to cool off before we talk anymore.
Yeah.
And then pick it up. Don't sweep it under the rug. Pick it up where you left off, but in a calmer way, I guess.
Yeah. So basically we've talked about tactics to communicate better,
mm-hmm.
and we've given some examples of non-communicative people and...
Poor communicators.
Poor communicative as in one way...
Right. Or angry, spewing,
but,
yeah.
Right, and tactics to deal with them, but I'm not exceptionally satisfied with what we've come up with, so thank you,
this question has no good answer, really.
Well,
I mean, it just has a bunch of sort of...
Possibilities.
Yeah,
that's
strategies.
Better than nothing, but if you guys, in addition to sending us your questions, if you guys have any other suggestions for this topic,
tell us your favorite.
Please send it in, because I'd like to come back to this topic in another episode.
Yeah, I like that too. If you have specific examples of someone who was non-communicative or poorly communicative with you, and you want to you want us to discuss those specific situations, because I think it's always easier to answer a specific question, right, than it is to talk about a situation
in general.
Just send them in. You can email us at questions@porktherapy.com.
Yeah, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, and of course, we have to do the
business.
Yes, we have to take care of some business here.
You can follow our new episodes and our information on twitter.porktherapy.com.
Yes, or you can friend us, and you can spam your friends with our gorgeous faces by plastering them all over each other's walls with facebook.porktherapy.com.
And you can subscribe to us in iTunes, Pork Therapy, P-O-R-C. And
if you like us, give us a positive
give
review.
Give us a good review there. Appreciate it.
And don't forget, I checked out your calendar, Mike.
You did? Oh, because we're on my computer here.
Yeah, we're on your computer, and we're on the Pork Therapy, well, it's more like a floor this time.
Pork Therapy love rug.
I like that better. I think we should record on the love rug every episode. Oh, but I was going to say, I checked out your calendar, and guess what?
What?
You're free tomorrow night.
I'm free tomorrow?
You
think I'd have
sure
a date
are.
By now?
Well, you did have a bunch of dates, but they were all last week after the episode aired. You basically had so many scheduled for one day that they just went on for the whole weekend. So you should email Mike, and you can ask him out on a date, and you can email him at mike@porktherapy.com.
And you can email Stephanie@porktherapy.com, and she's making a collection of pictures of our listeners in the nude, so send them in.
That's right, and don't ask me out on a date, because I'm not free tomorrow. I'm busy. I'm actually busy all week. So what's the moral of the story from this episode?
I can't even tell.
You know what I think it is? I had a thought.
Yes.
I asked that because I wanted to answer. I think the moral of the story is, when you're talking about communication, you need to lead by example and just, you know, and be a good communicator, and others will pick up those techniques.
You know what I think?
Techniques.
I guess this is kind of new to the episode, and I'll throw it in here at the kicker. But
sure, the kicker.
I think it's important.
It's like a rite of reputation.
We mentioned,
the magic game. Oh, God.
I think follow through is important, because if you say, if you say to someone who's communicating poorly or not at all, I can't handle this, it needs to stop, then you got to follow through. If you keep handling it, if you keep putting up with it, then what does that mean?
I don't know. I think Bridget doesn't know what it means.
Well, here's what it means to me, and it surely means different things to different people. But if you say, you know, please stop yelling at me, and let's talk about this calmly,
mm-hmm.
and you give the, and if you'd like, let's take an hour or a day and talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, and they wait an hour, and they yell at you some more, and you tell them again, please stop yelling at me, and they yell at you some more, and they just do not hear what you have to say, or do not respect it. If you keep putting up with it, that means to me, I'm not worthy of anything, I'm not worth anything, you can do what you want.
Yeah, again,
that's what it means
to me.
It's
just enabling their behavior.
Yeah. It's not necessarily what it means, but that's what it means to me. So I think the follow-up, the follow-through with what you say and what you lead as an example is important as well.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, I guess that's all we have time for, because this ended up being a pretty long episode,
yeah,
right?
We might split this
in... You're going to have to split this one into two episodes.
By the time you hear this, we might have already split it into two.
We may have.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for being here with us on the Pork Therapy Love Rug. You little love bugs. We'll see you next time.
All right, bye.
Bye.